This is Mark Dunley for WOOC. I was the third speaker at the Green New Deal Forum in the Albany Public Library on Saturday. So the Green New Deal, just to be clear about it, is a number of different aspects. As Howie talked about it, initiating in Europe, one thing that doesn't get talked about as much here in the United States was since it was initiated in Europe in response to the global economic meltdown, the financial crisis, it had a lot more details about the need to reform the financial system. That doesn't tend to get as discussed much here in the United States. The two things that we have been focusing upon has been the need for quick, immediate action on climate change, to move to 100% clean energy by 2030, and by clean energy and 100%, we mean everything. And that's been one of the big differences between our proposal and what AOC has more recently initiated, in that she primarily has been talking about electricity, which is important, but that's only 25% of the carbon footprint. And in particular, for some reason, the AOC proposal at this point does not expressly call for immediate halt to fossil fuels. And while we've been pushing that in New York State, there's actually some legal questions about our authority to do so. In New York State, there is no question about our legal authority to do that at the federal level, but so we're a little bit mystified about that. I actually very much, of course, am very excited about what the Sunrise Movement and AOC has done, because despite our efforts since 2010, the reality is the Sunrise Movement and AOC has gotten 1,000 times more media coverage and has made this a real issue. And we would like it to be stronger, but she actually combines many of the most positive aspects of the Green New Deal from its initiation, trying to deal with climate change and an emergency mobilization on a very fast timeline, combined with the New Deal part of it, which was in FDR's last State of the Union, he talked about doing a second Bill of Rights, an economic Bill of Rights. And so that's universal health care, which we would define as single-payer health care. It's a guaranteed right to a living wage job. It is about access to affordable housing. It is about access to quality education, including free college education. Most of that is in what AOC is talking about, AOC and now, you know, Senator Markey. So that's very positive. There's certainly a lot of pushback, not only from the more conservative elements, but to be honest, a lot from people within the climate movement who don't understand why we need to combine quick action on climate with an economic Bill of Rights. They do get the part about we need a just transition and we need a commitment to environmental justice, but they've been less committed to some of the things like full employment and single-payer health care. But even the Pope gets that, is one of the things I tell him. You know, in the, you know, Labor encyclical, the Pope said the reasons, the mentality that allows humans to exploit the environment and which has driven climate change is the same mentality that allows the rich of the world and the rich of this country to exploit the poor, for men to exploit women, for powerful countries, military countries, to exploit others. And even the Pope understood that in order to resolve climate change, we must resolve those other aspects of discrimination. And as Howie says, it's really critical that that the average American, that the average person feels that their life is going to be better through a Green New Deal. One thing I think we do talk more about with our Green New Deal is the concept of public ownership, that in fact we need to exert democratic control over our energy system, and that can be through worker ownership, it can be through municipal power. Cannot continue to allow the free market to determine our energy policy, because that is why we have, you know, climate, you know, chaos bent into us. One other point I would make is that the IPCC, which is one that we have 12 years left to take action to avoid catastrophic climate change, is a generally fairly conservative body. And so far, every report that they have put out on climate change has underestimated the severity of the problem, and they have underestimated how quickly it is occurring. And that is because of the process. Both the scientists are not generally, you know, trained to take bold statements, particularly across issues. They're taught to work on one particular aspect of an issue. And then even more challenging is whatever the IPCC puts out has to be approved by Saudi Arabia, by the United States, by Russia, and by Brazil. And in the most recent IPCC report, Saudi Arabia in particular was quite difficult. And with that 12 years that they're talking about we have left to act, the IPCC actually says we're going to go way, way past the tipping point if we keep to trying to, say, reduce average greenhouse gas emissions by 9% a year. And they rely upon a miracle solution that they hope that will figure out a way for technology to pull carbon out of the atmosphere. I hope so too, but we've spent $30, $40 billion so far in research and have not come up with anything. And to, you know, basically base the fate of life on this planet on developing a miracle technology, I do not think is a very reasonable position for the IPCC to take. So when they say 12 years, we think it needs to be done much faster. One of the interesting things in New York State with the resolution on the Green New Deal that Alexandria and Mark have introduced, there are now 13 Congress members just from New York State who have signed on to that resolution. 13, and Senator Gillibrand. Now, does anybody want to guess a couple local guys who haven't signed on to this bill? Taco hasn't signed on to anything, and Delgado has not yet signed on to it. So we here in the Capital District, I mean, even Brian Higgins has signed on to this thing. Last year, Congressman Taco was the only Democrat in the New York State delegation that refused to sign on to the OFF Act, which is a proposal to move to 100% clean electricity by 2035 and on transportation. So we have our work cut out here in the Capital District. There is now a Green New Deal proposal in the New York State Legislature. The lead sponsor is Senator, I keep on saying Senator Sanders. People say, what is Bernie doing with the Green New Deal in New York? And I said, no, it's Senator James Sanders, who's from Queens, and then Assemblymember Felix Ortiz. But it, you know, it is good that at least we're getting some movement on this as well. Now, of course, Governor Cuomo has said that he is now wants a Green New Deal for New York. And I think one of the things that has occurred is that a lot of elected officials are now using Green New Deal as basically to make the point, which is a valid point, that if we invest in renewable energy, we will create jobs. And so that the transition to a cleaner future is a job creation program. Well, that's a good point, but that's not what the Green New Deal is. Also, to be reality, any good proposal that relates to the climate change, that's not the Green New Deal. And increasingly, groups will say, well, I'm doing something good on the climate, so that's the Green New Deal. No, the Green New Deal is a more comprehensive thing, and it combines very fast action on climate change, and it also includes the concept of the Economic Bill of Rights. How to pay for it. This is one of the other issues we disagree with AOC, and unfortunately for much of Congress, in that I was reading yesterday a news article that told us how much the Green New Deal would say. And I said, this is great. Finally, somebody did it. And then I realized they actually took my information from a couple of years ago and didn't credit me for it. But I estimated it was about $1 trillion a year, $400 billion for the public jobs aspect of it, $200 to $300 billion a year for the climate change aspect of it. But it's just, you know, a serious amount of money. One of the things that we call for, and I know Code Pink's been quite pushing on this, is that we need to cut the military budget. And we could free up $300 to $500 billion a year that we could invest in it. We need a carbon tax, as some of the others speakers have mentioned. And we certainly need, and part of the thing about a carbon tax is really trying to hold the corporations that have been destroying life on our planet knowingly burning fossil fuels when they knew the damage that it's caused. Exxon and Chevron have known this for 30 years. They should pay for it. And then finally, fist bump time, we got to sort of tax the rich.